We're about to have our good buddy Kirby Wilbur, former KVI host, now our Lone Star State correspondent in Texas.
I could see him two-step into this right now.
We decided to play a little country music for Kirby.
Hat and boots on. Way to go, Kirby.
Anyway,
thank you.
We asked Kirby yesterday if he would join us again today to talk about the election results that we finally have an idea of the election a week later. Also his take on the raid at Mar-a-Lago. But Kirby Wilbur, first of all, welcome to the show. You probably heard that Joe Kent has now moved past Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler down there in the 3rd District that borders Oregon. Jamie's been there for 10 years, running for another term. Joe Kent challenging her. She had been in front of him all week long. He just moved up 960 votes.
Right. Clark County has had a very divided Republican Party for a very long time.
Yeah.
And Jamie's been extremely unpopular down there for a long time. I should note, by the way, Jamie Herrera was an intern for Kirby Wilbur on KVI Radio many years ago. I know her well, and I like her. So I want to get that out of the way.
As do
you know,
I.
She worked for me down there at KVI before she became famous. And she took the one vote, and Joe made it an issue against her that she voted to impeach. She was one of 10 Republicans voted to impeach President Trump, and that apparently was enough. And there were people unhappy with her as well, John. A lot of people thought she was not conservative enough. And there is a very conservative faction in Clark County. In the Republican Party,
you know that part is
liked her for a long time.
That part is surprising to me. Jamie was homeschooled. Jamie's pro-life.
Yes.
Where did she get this reputation of?
I
mean, she's a social conservative, unlike other members of Congress, Republican members of Congress from our state. Where
Correct.
Did she get this rap?
I don't know. There were people that simply were unhappy with her vote on some issues. And it built up over the years, and she was not always welcome at Clark County Republican meetings. There were the faction that loved her, of course, but there were also a number of people who are pretty far right, to be honest, and they just never accepted her. And so that, plus the Trump impeachment vote, plus Joe Kent's fairly attractive candidate doing a good job down there.
Yep.
But it's pretty obvious. Dan Newhouse, different position.
So let me ask you what the next district over. Is Tri-Cities, Yakima, the 4th District. Dan Newhouse has been there not as long as Jamie. I think he's been there for two or three terms, and he voted for impeachment, but his lead, if anything, has got bigger over Lauren Culp, who is the next closest Republican. What's going on there?
Right.
Why did Joe Kent surge and Lauren Culp did not?
I think Dan is more popular among the party. I don't think you have the fractions in the party in the 4th legislature, congressional district. You do in the 3rd. I think it's part of it. Number two, he had several Republicans running against him that ran credible candidates and got fairly good numbers. He had Brad Klippert, former state rep.
Yeah.
He had Gerald Sussler, who ran. He had Lauren Culp. And Lauren Culp's not that great a candidate. I know a lot of people like him, but you know, he didn't lose by 500,000 votes against Governor Inslee, and I don't think he's as good a campaigner as he could be. And because the anti-Newhouse, pro-Trump, anti-Trump impeachment vote was split among more serious candidates, and I don't think there's fractured. I think Dan just stood a better chance and obviously won. Yeah.
This was a great year for candidate recruitment. You're a former state chairman. You know how important recruitment is.
Yeah.
They were well-funded. These candidates for state house, state senate were well funded. There was great cooperation. Again, you know how important this is as a former state party leader, between the campaign reelection organizations, the campaigns themselves, the state and county party. There was a lot of cooperation, and not turf battles. And so, and plus, there's supposed to be a conservative wind at their back. So why didn't Republicans do better?
A couple thoughts. Voter turnout doesn't look all that impressive. It looks to be around the 40% range.
Yeah.
It should be more like 50, I think. It should be much more in a primary.
Okay.
That could be part of the reason. Number two, summer primary. I mean, since we moved the primary to August, I think if you go back and check, John, you'll see lower voter turnout because it's summer, it's vacation, city fair. People are doing other things, whereas a earlier March-April primary or later September primary would have better turnout. And it's very possible that the message, the Republican message, just doesn't click. Either too many people moved away, people are discouraged, the candidates didn't click like I thought they would. I mean, I talked to some of these candidates. I've talked to the people back there. I try to keep in touch. And I was very impressed with the recruits and the races and the issues, and maybe didn't click. Maybe Washington is more liberal and more Democrat than we thought.
Okay, well, here's the
number of reasons.
Here's what most surprised me, because all across the nation, whether it's in the South, the East Coast, the Midwest, the prairie states, other Western states, the one difference we see is there is more enthusiasm among Republican voters than Democrat voters in primaries across America. And here in Washington, it didn't happen. And I'm going, why didn't it happen here? Happened everywhere else.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I'd have to spend more time actually looking at the numbers, but I looked at the overall turnout numbers so far, and they're not impressive, John. We should be at 50.
Yep.
I think if you look, we're more like 40 in general. And so a large chunk of the population didn't vote. Is it summer? I don't know. Are they all moving to Texas? I don't think that many have moved. So it's not that. Did the candidates not click? Maybe they didn't. Maybe people are discouraged. Could be a number of things. But they've got to, I think the party's in a position, they've got to reanalyze what went wrong and focus on voter turnout for November. Patty Murray was very impressive in what she did.
Yep.
That's going to be the driver, the only real statewide race. That's going to be the driver for the Democrats. The Republicans have to find something to drive their turnout. And it could very well be this FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago is what turns out Republicans.
Well, that was my next...
It turns out to be nothing.
That we have 2 minutes left, and that was my next pivot point here. What say you about the Mar-a-Lago raid? FBI agents spending the better part of a day in plain clothes, ferrying and carting away box after box of materials from President Trump's home.
I'm going to wait a day or two to make a final judgment because I want to see what they were after. It was not related to January 6th.
Right.
Apparently related to documents that they believe the president should have turned over to the archives and didn't. That's a pretty flimsy excuse for an actual physical raid on a property. But I want to hold judgment and see what the reason was. Right off the top of my head, they have inspired Trump supporters around the country to turn out and donate and support, and they might very well have elected Donald Trump in November if he's the nominee. They may very well have elected him with this because it's going to really tick off all of his supporters. Unless there's a real justifiable reason, which we'll know in a day or two, I kind of doubt it, but I want to withhold final judgment until I see everything.
Well, as Alan Dershowitz said, we played the video last hour. A physical raid in any circumstance, a physical raid by authorities is always a last resort.
Yes.
And
yep.
a raid on a former president's home, more than just a last resort, never happened before.
Who is talking about running again, who would be the primary foe of the sitting president, would probably win the Republican nomination. Likely candidate in 2 years to raid his home, and the Biden had to know about this. People in Biden administration had to know. This does not happen without the top knowing.
Right.
For them to authorize this, it's unprecedented. It's a dangerous precedent unless they can provide overwhelming evidence, John, that it was justified. And we haven't seen, as I understand, we haven't seen the warrant signed by the judge. We haven't seen an explanation what they were looking for. So I'm going to withhold final judgment, but I'll tell you this. They just gave the Trump campaign the biggest shot in the arm they could have asked for if he intends to run again.
And it looks like, again, another fishing expedition is what it looks like at first glance.
It does. But the judge has signed off on it, so the FBI in a warrant has to be specific. What we're looking for, why we think it's there, why we're going to this specific site, we haven't seen that yet. But on the surface, it looks like the weaponization of the FBI and going against your primary political opponent. This happens in third world countries, not in America, unless they have a really good reason that will stand perusal, that will stand examination. They just may have elected Donald Trump in November 2024.
Yeah, no, this is what happens in Latin American countries where the new president wants to ruin his foe because his foe is going to come and run against him again, and so he sends the army after the guy or sends this internal security apparatus. Kirby Wilbur, great having you.
Dr. Purpose, the FBI. Hey, John, thank you so much. Be happy with you anytime. You have a great day. Enjoy the heat.
You got it. All right. That's Kirby Wilbur from Texas, McKinney, Texas, joining us here on The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.